Good morning, everyone. Great to see you guys all here. I've got to be honest, Christine mentioned this, but this has been a very eventful week for me. When Fred Rose mentioned sharing this week, I had no idea all of the highs and lows that I would be going through, but it really just kind of made sense to sort of wrap them all up and give them to you. And so with that said, you will notice that Olivia is not here this morning. What I like to think of as kind of my row is missing her, but I do have some of my family here, and they came in for some of the events that were going on. First, my nephew graduated, so my sister's son graduated from high school. While she was planning her party, my dad gives her a call and says, you know, it is your mother's birthday. Can I say how old you are? Okay. It is your mother's 75th birthday this week, and I thought it would be nice if we just had a small little gathering, surprise party, and maybe you girls could put something together, and you girls are myself and my sister. Now, I will say that there is nothing in my family that is ever small. There's no event that is just a small gathering. There's five children. Everyone is married or has somebody in their life, and there's grandchildren and cousins, and so we knew this was not going to just be a small thing, and keeping a surprise from kind of the matriarch of the family is pretty difficult, but I do think that that she was very surprised. And so my sister, she did call me, and she said, you know, Dad would like us to do this, and, you know, can you help? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I would love to help. But I was right at the end of taking my real estate class to get my North Carolina broker's license. And I don't know if any of you have taken that class or known anyone who's taken that class or just heard the horror stories, but it is not an easy class. In fact, I took the class in November, December, and I did not pass the class. And so I was retaking the class now, and I knew that I could not have any distractions. So my sister says, you know what, it's okay, I'll plan it. Well, we all know the saying, we plan, God laughs. And so as my sister is planning this party, we have two medical emergencies that come up right before. So, you know, she's planning everything, hotels, airport shuttles. I mean, I had family coming from Florida, from Kentucky, and from New York. And so we got all these people coming, trying to keep it a secret. And we have our first medical emergency, which is my father. Now, he's fine, he's here today, but on Tuesday, he's talking about this pain in his arm, and my mom, being a nurse and being cautious, says, you know, we're going to go, we're going to get this checked out. Well, they go, and it turns out that he had thrown a blood clot, and fortunately, the blood clot did not go north, it didn't hit his lung or his brain, but it lodged in his arm, and so it was this, you know, plans were already being changed. So some of the family's now coming earlier, and there was general chaos. And so we went in the hospital and they removed the clot and everything was fine. Well, about 2 weeks ago, and I know we've been praying for Olivia, but a couple weeks ago her doctor found that she had a massive cyst in her belly. And so the last couple weeks were, you know, her getting scans and scheduling surgery and surgery getting changed, and then it was supposed to overlap with my father. So again, just more craziness. Well, she finally did get to go in on Friday, and the cyst was way too big for them to remove laparoscopically, so they had to cut her open. So now Olivia has her heart surgery scar from here to here. Now she has this scar from here to here. And they took the cyst out. And just to give you a visual representation, I'm not kidding, the mass was 9 inches when it was in her, and when they took it out, it was as big as this. It was over 10 inches in that tiny little girl. So you can imagine, it was a pretty invasive surgery. She's still in the hospital, but she's doing great. She's doing very well. I was sitting with her Friday night, and you know, she's coming off her anesthesia. She's bummed because all these parties are happening and she's going to miss them all. And she's like, why me? You know, why me? I wanted to go to Grandma's party, and I wanted to see all my cousins, and I'm trying to go to Girl State next week, which is an honor she was given, and she's going to miss that now, and, you know, got mission trip, and she's like, I just don't understand. I mean, I'm a really good person. I mean, I feed the homeless, for crying out loud, and I just, what else can go wrong? And I said, Olivia, never ask what else can go wrong, because it can, things can always go a lot worse. And so, but the funny thing is, as she was saying that, I realized I was saying the same thing myself. I'm like, why me? I'm trying to take this test, and I'm trying to focus on this, and now I got my dad to worry about, and I can't help my sister, and now I've got Olivia, and it's just too much. It's just too much. But, and I thought, you know what, I feed the homeless too. And I don't know why all this has got to happen all at the same time. But here's the thing. We all have this misconception that life should treat us the way that we treat it. You know, we think I'm a good person, I'm generous, I'm loving, and we're fair. And we think that if we are good and giving and generous, that life should return that to us. It should be good and generous to us. But guess what? Life is anything but fair. When we say, why me, life says, why not you? Life does not possess a conscience. There is no reward system when it comes to life that says, you're good and good things will happen to you, and you're bad and bad things will happen to you. Life is what we call an equal opportunity exploiter. In fact, it actually sets up the good person, because we hear our whole lives, if you're good, good things will happen to you. And so we set ourselves up to say, I'm good and I want good things. And that is just often not the case. And we are all susceptible to life and its crazy ways. In fact, I can remember growing up and whining about something and saying, life isn't fair. And my mother saying, you know what, kid? Life ain't fair all the time. And it's so true. So when we say, why me, and life says, why not you, this is where our faith comes into play. Because we have all suffered life's rejections. Good people, bad people, those seemingly charmed people in life, everybody has suffered some heartache and some loss and some rejection. And that rejection, it tells us that we're not valuable, that we don't belong, that we're not important, and that we're not enough. Rejection steals the best of who we are by reinforcing the worst of what's been said to us. But do not mistake that voice as life. Remember, life is very indifferent. That voice you hear, that voice is the enemy. And the enemy wants us to feel rejected and lonely and less than and left out. The enemy wants us to say, why me? But God tells us something completely different. God tells us that we are more than enough. God tells us our heartbreaks, they were never meant to define us. Jesus absolutely modeled this. He was betrayed, he was mocked, he was abandoned, beaten, crucified, and buried. Those are all facts of his past. But they were not the destiny of his future. He rose, and through him we will all rise too. And there will be glory in that day. But what about this day? What about today? What do I tell sweet Olivia? What do I tell myself? Well, first I want to read today's scripture lesson, which comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I've taken some excerpts from verses 6 through 18. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, to unpack this just a little bit, I want to look at Jesus just hours before his crucifixion, when he was in the garden surrounded by olive trees, which I think are very symbolic, and they are more than just a backdrop to the garden. Now, to talk about olives, first, in order to be fruitful, the olive tree has to have both the east wind and the west wind. The east wind is the dry, hot wind from the desert. It is a very harsh wind. The west wind, on the other hand, comes from the Mediterranean, and it brings rain and life. And the olive tree needs both of those winds to reproduce fruit, and so do we. We need both the winds of hardship and the winds of relief in our lives to be truly fruitful. Another thing to consider about the olive tree is how naturally bitter the olive is and what it must go through to become useful. If you were to pick an olive tree, olive from a tree and try to eat it, its bitterness would make you sick. For the olive to be edible, it has to go through a lengthy process, which can include washing, breaking, soaking, sometimes salting, and then waiting. It is a lengthy process to be cured of bitterness and prepared for usefulness. If we are to escape the bitterness of the human heart that results from life's events, we have to go through a long process, including the process of being cured. And the final thing to consider about the olive is that the best way to extract and preserve the oil, it has to be crushed in order to extract the oil, and the same is true for us. Keeping that olive tree in mind is how we can be troubled on every side, the east and the west, yet not be distressed. Pressed to the point of being crushed, but not crushed and destroyed. The olive tree is a beautiful reminder that this isn't how it's going to be forever. On the other side of the harsh wind is the fruit. On the other side of the process of being broken is a useful heart free of bitterness. And on the other side of being pressed and crushed is the oil, the most valuable part of me, set free to emerge. Do not forget that on the other side of every hardship is a resurrection. Now, I want to close by telling you a little personal story. About a month ago, so I have a fish tank in my house, about a 30-gallon fish tank, and about a month ago, I went and, I don't know, spent almost $40 and bought a ton of fish. I had probably 15 fish in my tank, and so I get them home, I put the fish in the tank, and a little while later, the water's super cloudy, so I find some clarifier, spend around a while, and before I go to bed, I throw a few capfuls in there, and I get up the next morning, and the fish tank is a morgue. I mean, every fish is dead. Like $40 worth of fish just floating on the top of my fish tank. And I'm very distraught. You know, I feel like I've just had the Holocaust. Like, I feel like I brought all these fish home and then I just gassed them all. So I knew that I couldn't clean the fish tank because I was in school and I've got two other jobs. And so I was just going to empty it all out and put it in the garage until I had a chance to really clean it and restock it, because it takes a while to do that. So I'm, you know, bucketing out the water and getting all the dead fish and the plants and everything out, and all of a sudden down there in the bottom, like I'm down to like, I don't know, 2 or 3 inches, I see these three little fish swimming around in there, these three little blue guppies, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they survived the Holocaust. Like, these fish actually lived. But I just did not have time to do anything with them. So I left them in there, and as the days were going by, the water's getting lower and lower. And pretty soon, like, the gravel's above the water line, and these poor little fish are stuck in these little pockets of water. And it's like a grave. And I know by the time I get to it, they're not even going to be alive. So I took my class, passed my class, incidentally, did really well, so that was behind me, and I now have time to go clean this fish tank, and so I dump it all out and get the water and condition it and fill it back up, and I go buy a bunch more fish and put them in there, and it was really, really interesting because those three fish, they lived, and within, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours of cleaning that tank, they went from this dark, very disgusting place that was terrible for them to be in. And they went from that in just a day to this absolute beautiful paradise. And I don't know if, yeah, that's what the tank looks like. And then after they were done, It was amazing. And they, and those three fish, within a day, they were bright blue again. And within a couple days, they were actually growing. And, you know, they always say that your fish will never outgrow the space that it's in. And so when they were in those little gravel pits, they were not doing anything. And as soon as they got in the big tank, they just were swimming. And it just reminded me that when our outlook is dark and disgusting and we think that we are trapped because all we can feel are the harsh winds and all we can taste is the bitterness, that can all turn around in just a few hours if we persevere. So I guess those three fish could have been saying, why me? Right? Why me? Why am I in this life? But what they don't really see is the bigger picture, and that they were the only ones that lived. So sometimes we need to be outside of the tank in order to look in and see what blessings we actually have. And maybe our rejections, maybe they help equip us to help others who are also wondering, why me? And with that, I will say amen.